A reading from the book of Genesis. In the course of the night, Jacob arose, took his two wives with the two maidservants and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had taken them across the stream and had brought over all his possessions, Jacob was left there alone. Then some man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. When the man saw that he could not prevail over him, he struck Jacob's hip at its socket, so that the hip socket was wrenched as they wrestled. The man then said to him, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" He answered, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be spoken of as Jacob, but as Israel, because you have contended with divine and human beings and have prevailed." Jacob then asked him, "Do tell me your name, please." He answered, "Why should you want to know my name?" With that, he bade him farewell. Jacob named the place Peniel, "Because I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." At sunrise, as he left Peniel, Jacob limped along because of his hip. That is why to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the sciatic muscle that is on the hip socket, inasmuch as Jacob's hip socket was struck at the sciatic muscle. The word of the Lord. I think we're all familiar with those middle-of-the-night experiences that keep us awake, tossing and turning to the point where we have to get up and make a list of what needs to be done in the morning, or we might even get up and actually take care of what is on our mind, hoping for a couple of hours of peaceful sleep. I think that was what was happening with Jacob when he got up in the course of the night and took everyone he loved and everything he owned to the other side of the river Jabbok. He was probably tossing and turning that night, thinking, "How am I going to get everything done before my appointment with Esau?" So he got up and took care of one of the major tasks on his list of things to do. Yet isn't it often the case that even after taking care of our business and go back to bed, we still toss and turn? Sometimes so much so that we get twisted up in the sheets and are granted only a couple of hours of fitful sleep. Because the truth of the matter is that there is usually something bigger going on than what's on our list of things to do. Jacob discovered that in his middle of the night wrestling match with the divine. But middle of the night experiences don't usually start in the middle of the night. They often start right in the middle of the blazing sunlight of day. And as Jacob made his way back to Esau with his family and possessions across that Middle Eastern desert, riding atop his camel, he had plenty of hours to think about all those events that had taken place the last time he had seen his brother. Remember, being the oldest son in the ancient world had its dividends. The oldest son received the birthright and blessing as his inheritance. Jacob was aware of this, and he shrewdly dealt for the birthright from his twin and significantly his older brother. We may recall Esau was the hunter and Jacob the gatherer. Esau was famished one day when he came home from a hunting trip, and Jacob had soup warming on the desert sand stove. Jacob bargained and got what he wanted, the birthright, which was no small thing. Esau was due to receive a double portion of the inheritance from Isaac, and he gave it away for a bowl of lentil soup. Satisfied for a moment of gratification, he gave away a lifetime of sustenance. Sometime later, Jacob plotted with his mother to take the blessing from Esau. This also was no small matter, for the one upon whom the blessing was bestowed would be the one through whom God would lead God's people as had been promised to Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah. Disguising himself in Esau's clothing, Jacob received the blessing from Isaac, who first ascertained which of his sons he was. "I am Esau, your firstborn," Jacob lied. The blessing was given, the last straw in the sibling rivalry. Esau swore he would kill Jacob, so their mother sent Jacob away, back to her people. Since that day, Jacob had indeed become very successful, acquiring 2 wives and 2 maidservants, having 13 children between and among them, building a name for himself in his farming and livestock abilities, and wrestling with his father-in-law for his independence. A lot had happened since leaving home, and Jacob had become quite rich in material matters. But there was one more journey he needed to make, to the thin place where the human and the divine meet. There was one more wrestling match to be had, the one with himself, and ultimately with his God. And there was one more blessing to be bestowed. In returning to the other side of the Jabbok after leaving his family and possessions, Jacob was left alone, stripped of all that he had gathered and accomplished during his time away. And in that solitary night, he hung on for dear life, not letting go of his opponent, who finally asked him, "What is your name?" In that moment, Jacob admitted the truth of who he was. He was Jacob, the supplanter. Jacob, the conniver. Jacob, the cheater. Jacob, the one who always tried to work things out in his own way instead of trusting in the God of promises. In this moment of truthfulness and vulnerability, God encountered Jacob, wrestled with him, and blessed him. How often do we confront our fears, our vulnerabilities, and say hello to the truth of who we are? When we can get to that point, it is then that God is able to really work in us and through us. One of my middle-of-the-night experiences happened on the shores of Lake Michigan in 2006, only it was in the late afternoon. I had just started teaching at Woodlands Academy of the Sacred Heart, just north of Chicago, and was not having a very good experience. I had never had any desire to teach, and yet there I was. I was angry, frustrated, confused, and resistant to this ministry. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be back in my familiar surroundings of parish ministry. I lived about 1.5 miles from the lake, so I would go down as often as I could after school, trying to figure out what I was doing. On this one particular afternoon, I was busy wrestling with God, ranting and raving that I was floundering in this school in a city where I knew no one. I was alone, and I was afraid. Afraid of failing and of embarrassing myself. As I walked along the beach, in front of me was a mother and her son. The son was about 12 years old. They looked to be playing some kind of a game, but I just passed them by, so engrossed in my complaints that I hardly noticed them. I eventually sat down among the reeds in the sand and looked out at the water. And I noticed that the mother and her son were about 20 yards in front of me. It took me a moment to realize that the boy was blind, and his mother was helping him to experience the water, splashing it upon him, to experience the sand, letting the sand roll through his fingers. My wrestling ceased as I realized that God was like that mother, always with me, guiding me along in my own blindness, helping me to see that I was more than I thought I was, that I could be both pastoral associate and teacher. In his vulnerability, in his brokenness, Jacob was able to shed the masks and name the truth of who he was. And in that, God blessed him with a new name and new life. The next morning he returned to his family a richer man than he had been when he left them on the other side of the river. For he had been blessed with the strength and courage, life and love of God. The invitation is the same for us. To name the truth of who we are. To name our fears. To name our feelings. To realize that it's all okay. It matters not the riches we have in our successes and degrees, accomplishments and awards. What matters is our being able to name ourselves before God and to hear God bless us with a new name and new life. In doing so, we should find that our middle-of-the-night wrestling matches become more blissful nights of resting in the safe and loving arms of our God.